This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in wa usalli wa usallim ala khatamil anbiya'i wal mursalin, nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creatures. May the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all his companions and followers. May Allah make us from amongst them and our offspring. Ameen. Honored ulama, dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, the surahs that we read this evening are very, very important. And as we draw to the end of the Quran, the surahs become shorter and they become many. So inshallah, tonight I will go through a few points of every surah with the idea of presenting the gist and the message of the surah, though at times, and in fact in most cases, the messages are more than one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Firstly, Surah Fussilat, which we had spoken about last night, also known as Hamim As-Sajda. In that surah, there is one point I'd like to raise, and that is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to warn the people of Quraysh that if they turned away, then they should be warned of a similar punishment of that which had got to Ad and Thamud and so on. They were to be warned of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous surah, which is Surah Al-Mu'min, if you recall, the one man who had believed from amongst the people of Fir'aun, he too warned his people and the family of Fir'aun of the same thing, identical message. He warned them, يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِثْلَ يَوْمِ الْأَحْزَابِ مِثْلَ دَأْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Oh my people, I am warning you of what had happened to the previous armies like Ad and Thamud and those who were previous to us. This man is warning his people. In the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Quraysh, and what the verses that were read out to the people of Quraysh, whom in turn put their fingers in their ears when they heard the verse, because they knew very well that yes, the punishment of the Almighty, if it is to come, there will be nothing that will stop it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Fussilat or Hamim As-Sajda,
فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودَ إِذْ جَاءَتْهُمُ الرُّسُلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهَ قَالُوا لَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّنَا لَأَنزَلَ مَلَائِكَةً فَإِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ.
If you are to turn away, be warned of a similar punishment to that of Ad and Thamud, when the messengers came to them and gave the message, they began to say, if our Rabb wanted, he could have sent an angel in order to deliver the message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant every single one of us understanding that those who remind us to do good are human beings. Those who prohibit bad in our midst are human beings. It is not worth our while to pick on minor issues that a person may be tested with and say that means he is a write-off. Imam Malik ibn Anas, one of the imams of the Madhahib, he said, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ, and this he said when he was in the Rawdatul Mubarakah, in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He said, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَيُؤْخَذُ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ وَيُرَدُّ إِلَّا صَاحِبَ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, there is none on earth except that we need to take some of what they've said and leave some other part of what they've said. If you recall last night's verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those who listen to to everything, but only allow to filter in that which is correct and beneficial. And Imam Malik ibn Anas made an exception. And he says, the sole exception to that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We take everything he has said and we follow it blindly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. If we have not comprehended it, it does not mean it is incorrect. It means our comprehension is guilty of not being able to understand what is right and wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us taqwa and iman. And may we be from amongst those who can follow the messenger without questioning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next surah, which is named after one of the most important aspects of this deen, and one of the most important social aspects, political aspects, and in fact from many angles it is one of the most important issues. The issue of shura and consultation. An entire surah of the Quran is named after shura, which means the consultation, in order to explain the importance of consultation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named the entire surah consultation, and may Allah grant us the importance. In this surah he speaks of unity and the bad effects of disunity, and the fact that if you dispute and argue about something, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, the Quran, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let that be the judge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whatever you have disputed in, the final judgment should be left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the command of Allah is final. At times in our homes or in our businesses or in our day-to-day lives, we have disputes with people and we tend to resolve or we tend to come to a judgment that disagrees with what the Quran and the Sunnah says. If that is the case, then we stand to lose, because we are going to be answerable, definitely. We are all answerable for our actions, our deeds, and including our decisions and the way we judged when matters arose between us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us. Yes, when you consult also, there might be certain disputes. Remember that the overriding factor is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when it comes to marriage and divorce. In fact, not coincidentally, towards the end of Surah Ash-Shura, Allah speaks subhanahu wa ta'ala of the favors upon man. Some have been granted male, some have been granted female children. Some have been granted both male and female children. Some have been granted nothing at all. And why did Allah mention this in Surah Ash-Shura? Some mufassirin who have spoken about the connection of the title of the surah with the contents of it have said, because it is important to consult even on marital issues. It is very important to consult regarding your own children. What should I do with them? Consult those who have experience. And be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you people around you who can give you sound and solid advice. It is very important to know what type of people to go to. And for that reason, in the same surah, Allah describes subhanahu wa ta'ala what type of people you should go to. It's no coincidence. Allah says,
وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ.
Those who abstain from major sin. They abstain from kabira gunas, from the major sins. And they abstain from immorality. And whenever they are angry, they are quick to forgive. Whenever they are angry, they are quick to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, continuing the qualities of those who engage in consultation as well as those who should be consulted.
وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ.
Those who have answered the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have established their 5 daily salah in the best manner. Those are the ones who consult each other.
وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ.
Another quality of those whom you should consult is that they themselves also consult others. And they are always found consulting, and they spend from the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them. So Surah Ash-Shura is a complete surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of several aspects of consultation and how important it is in our day-to-day lives and even in our social lives, even in business decisions we'd like to make. The ulama have taught us that there are two things you need to look at. Once you know this person is genuine, that is the first thing. The person is genuine towards you. So you do not go and consult with an enemy, or you want to open a business and you go to your competition and you tell them, what should I do? They will look at you, scoff and laugh, and they may give you advice that they know will result in your downfall because of the competition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we are taught regarding shura is, firstly, you should know that this person is genuine. Secondly, make sure he or she is qualified in the field you are asking, in the field of the consultation. So if you are, for example, wanting to marry someone, ask those who are closest to you. Your own parents are the most important to consult. If you have done it without consultation of parents, most probably it may not work, unless they have no Islamic reason to deny and stop you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us that make sure this person is qualified. When it comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was qualified in absolutely everything. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum could only seek his view. And yes, the other Sahaba were also asked their view in order to show us later on that even the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were asked at times for their view. This is the importance of consultation. So if we are making a decision, for example, regarding building, we cannot go out and ask, for example, an accountant regarding how many bricks we need and so on. The same applies to a plumbing problem. You cannot phone the dentist and say, look, my pipe is burst, what should I do? And so on. So this is very easily understood. But where we lack is not something that is very clear. But those things, especially the social consultations, we lack in that. We don't know who is genuine. We don't know who is closest to us. And for that reason, we go against our own parents. And at times we decide to divorce our whole family just for the sake of marrying one person, not realizing that a few months down the line we are going to need that entire family to help us come out of that mess we are in. May Allah not do that to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the importance of shura. Shura is also applicable where there is a dispute, where there is divorce, for example. We need to consult. It is haram for a man to just stand up and issue and utter the words of talaq. So many questions come to the ulama. Such and such a person has dished out all the talaqs. It is like taking a revolver with three bullets, shooting it straight into somebody's chest, and then saying, are they still alive? What a foolish question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So we need to learn that even these issues should only happen through consultation. And once we've consulted, we should try and solve the matters first. Also, after divorce, the issue of child custody is very, very important. We should know that during or if there is a dispute in that regard, Allah's ruling stands. And Allah's decision is final. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not keep in our hearts any reservation whatsoever when it comes to adopting His rules. Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He has commanded all the previous nations not to disunite. He says,
شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
We have ordained upon you that which we have ordained upon those before you, such as Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. What was that which we ordained upon them? To stand steadfast, to uplift this deen, and to establish this deen, and never to disunite regarding deen. Today the ummah is in shambles, because we have gone against that very command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any small issue, immediately we blow our trumpets and immediately we cause the biggest splits in the Muslim ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the power to love everyone who utters
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله.
The power of that shahada must make us love everyone who utters it. The hadith says, من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whosoever shall utter truly the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will indeed enter Jannah by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to create dispute and disunity in the Muslim ummah? Yes, where there are differences of opinion, we may discuss them intellectually. That should not result in disunity of the ummah. And in fact, at times, there can be two opinions that are correct. Two opposite opinions that are correct. And there are several examples of that in the Sharia. One of them is during the time of the battle of Banu Qurayza, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, لا يصلين أحدكم العصر إلا في بني قريضة. None of you should read Salatul Asr until you get to Banu Qurayza. Some of the Sahaba understood that the time of Salah on that day is delayed, so they should not read Salah even if the time of Asr was expiring. The other half of the Sahaba understood that this only means rush to Bani Qurayza, but you should read Asr in its time. Some of them read Salah, the others did not read Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam confirmed that those who said read your Salah were correct. Those who said do not read your Salah were also correct, because both of them intended to follow him and not to go against his command. So why don't we understand that Salah being a pillar of deen, when there was dispute about it, it did not result in disunity of the Sahaba. Rather, it resulted in the solving of the matter with the words and the Mubarak mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, don't worry, both of you are correct. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I've just given you one example. Let's move on to the same surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the qualities of those whom we should consult and those who consult one another. They are the true believers. And Allah says, whenever they are wronged and oppressed, they have the right to revenge. But,
فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ.
Whosoever forgives and resolves, definitely the reward of such a person is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful is this put in Surah Ash-Shura. The reason is, we all need to think. Sometimes someone oppresses us. It is worth our while to remain silent and forgive them. If a person has harmed us of 100 rands, we might sometimes go out to retaliate in a manner that it will cost us 100,000 rands. Through court cases and so on, that was very foolish. Rather, we say, Ya Allah, you deal with the issue, or a higher level, Ya Allah, forgive them. Ya Allah, I have forgiven them, and continue content with your life, rather than bogging yourself down in something. This is why Allah says, if you forgive, no matter what it is, if you forgive, it is better for you. Though you have the right to seek revenge and retaliation, if you forgive, it is better for you. And may Allah make us understand that sometimes we need to weigh the pros and cons. Sometimes it is not worth our while to retaliate and revenge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring forth the Muslim ummah as one united peace, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that speaks in the next surah, which is named after the gold adornments, Az-Zukhruf. Zukhruf, the beautification, the gold adornments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah speaks of the comparison between the dunya and the akhirah. The beautification of the dunya, the beautification of the akhirah. Zukhruf, meaning the gold adornments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
Allah says, had it not been that all the people would have become one nation and would have been united in disbelief, we would have granted every single one who disbelieves, Allah says, we would have granted them all the adornment of this world. And Allah describes that adornment. We would have granted them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, houses, whose, meaning the roofs of the houses would be made of silver. And they would have escalators also made of silver, whereby they would ascend. And they would have doors and beds also made of silver. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we would have also given them gold adornment. But then Allah ends the verses by saying, nay, that all is the adornment of this dunya. Those are provisions of this dunya. And for those who are conscious of Allah, what is better for them is the akhirah. What this means is, be happy and content with whatever Allah has given you. Thank Him and don't find yourself from amongst the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we had given everyone all the adornments of this dunya, they would have collectively disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants some more and some less, and Allah does not give some and gives others after a lot of hard work, and some are given without any effort at all. That is all the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of these adornments, and then He speaks of a person who gets so involved in the adornments that he forgets Allah. Allah says, such people, we appoint a shaitan who will be his companion or her companion. Those who are engrossed and involved in the dunya, they've dived in the dunya, swimming and drowning in the dunya. Allah says,
وَمَن يَعْشُ عَن ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ.
Those who have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His command, those who have dived into the dunya, those who have given the dunya preference over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, He appoints a shaytan to be in the company of this person, to guide the person, to advise the person, and this person will live his life or her life in a manner that he or she thinks he is right and she is right, not knowing that what they are thinking is totally wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. These shaytans lead them astray, and yet they feel that they are on the right path. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. It is good to have wealth with the intention of using it correctly. It is good to have wealth with the intention of using it on our family members and children and on the poor as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. But the minute that wealth gets into our heads, it becomes a curse upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let that happen to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that makes mention of Fir'aun and the fact that Fir'aun too was fooled by the dunya, and his arrogance and wealth led him to deny the truth. And Allah says, do you know what he said to Musa alayhi salam? He said, why didn't Musa alayhi salam have gold bracelets? Going back to the gold adornments, he says,
فَلَوْلَا أُلْقِيَ عَلَيْهِ أَسْوِرَةٌ مِّن ذَهَبٍ.
Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not send gold bracelets to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam so he could show us that he has more wealth than us? So Fir'aun had the attitude, if you have more than me, I'm going to listen to you. Sometimes we do have the same attitude. We only listen to those who have money. They say money speaks. According to me, it has started screaming and shouting as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So we need to understand, yes, money is something very good if used in the correct manner. And the same money can be a curse if we have used it incorrectly. Here Allah is saying, Fir'aun's wealth led him astray. He began to boast. He says, in the same surah, Allah says,
وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ فِي قَوْمِهِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Fir'aun said to his people when he called them, "Don't you see that I own the whole of Egypt? Don't you see that it's all under my rule? Don't you see that these rivers are flowing beneath me? Don't you see that I am the one whom you are supposed to be worshipping? Forget about this man, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam." So that is what his wealth did to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us to the ground. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us humbleness to the degree that when we arrive on the day of Qiyamah, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into play. Man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. Whosoever humbles himself or herself for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise them inshallah in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. And the opposite is also in the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ أَوْ اِسْتَكْبَرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever becomes mutakabbir and proud and arrogant, Allah will drop them. It will result in their downfall. May Allah not do that to us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of how Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is a sign of qiyamah. He says, after speaking about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam,
وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا.
Indeed, Isa alayhi salam is a sign of Qiyamah. So do not be in doubt regarding Qiyamah. What is it that is a sign when it comes to Isa alayhi salam? We should all be aware that Isa alayhi salam is alive. He is with Allah and he is going to descend close to Qiyamah. We are speaking of Jesus, may peace be upon him. He is alive. And he is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is going to return to the earth prior to Qiyamah. As he returns, he becomes a sign of Qiyamah. That means Qiyamah is now very, very close. So Allah has spoken of it in the Quran. The Qadianis, who are not Muslims, believe that Isa alayhi salam is dead. And they believe, na'udhu billah, that he is not going to come back. And they say, there is no evidence in the Quran to prove that. Here is the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Zukhruf, regarding Isa alayhi salam, and we can pick up any Quran, any translation.
وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ.
Definitely he is a sign of Qiyamah, a sign of the hour. And all the mufassireen have unanimously agreed that this is referring to the returning of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam onto earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our offspring from amongst those who will be with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in his army fighting against Dajjal. Ameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives comfort to all those who believe and who do good deeds, the worshippers of Allah. He says,
Ya ibadi la khawfun alaykum al-yawm, wa la antum tahzanun.
O my worshippers, on this day you shall not fear and you shall not be sad. And Allah describes Jannah that He is going to prepare, that He has already prepared and He will give us inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannah with His mercy. Then the next surah is named after the smoke, Ad-Dukhan. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, who is a great mufassir, has explained that this smoke is actually referring to the final day, when there will be a thick cloud of smoke above the people. Some of the other mufassireen, such as Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, says that this was a prophecy of a smoke and a curse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of drought against the people of Quraysh, and he says they saw that day already. But the majority of the mufassireen agree with Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses everyone saying,
فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ.
Wait for the day when the skies will have a clear thick cloud of smoke in them. And on that day, it will cover the people. يَغْشَنْ نَاسَ. That cloud will cover the people.
هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
They will all utter that this is indeed severe punishment. And they will make a dua.
رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ.
Oh Allah, remove this punishment. We are believers now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say,
أَنَّا لَهُمُ الذِّكْرَى وَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مُّبِينٌ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا مُعَلَّمٌ مَجْنُونٌ.
How can this be a reminder for them now? when we sent messengers before to them and they said, oh, these people are mad. These messengers are mad. And these messengers have been taught what to say by others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So that is the dukhan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats very briefly the story of Musa and Fir'aun in Surah Ad-Dukhan, where Allah says, and the point of highlight is, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. The skies did not cry for Fir'aun. When Fir'aun was destroyed and all his people, the skies didn't cry, nor did the earth cry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, let us all accept his command and be found on the right side of his law before it is too late, and then we regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us safety. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again describes Jannah and Jahannam in the same surah, that is Surah Ad-Dukhan. Moving on to the last surah that we read today, Surah Al-Jathiyah, the kneeling. When one would kneel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah describes how on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will be found kneeling. All the nations will be kneeling and they will be given their books. And Allah is going to say, we were writing absolutely everything you ever did. Here are your books. Take them, they will speak the truth. And Allah describes this saying, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, to Allah belongs, or for Allah belongs, the dominion of the skies and the earth. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah continues saying, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَخْسَرُ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Those who had followed falsehood will definitely lose the day the hour strikes.
وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ.
You shall find every ummah, every nation kneeling.
كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا.
Each ummah, each nation shall be invited to its books, or to its book. The book that kept the record of the deeds of every single member of that ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون.
On this day, you shall receive the recompense for your deeds. For whatever you have done, you are going to get it today.
هذا كتابنا.
This is our book.
ينطق عليكم بالحق.
Which is going to bear witness against you with truth and with justice. May Allah make it easy for us on that day. Then Allah says, as for those who believe,
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ.
As for those who believe, Allah will allow them entry into His mercy. And the very next verse Allah says,
وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا.
As for those who have disbelieved,
أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ.
They will be told, did our verses not come to you? Were they not recited to you? Were our verses not recited to you? But you were proud, you were arrogant, and you disbelieved, and you became criminals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. May He make us from amongst the believers, and may He grant us Jannah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.